Hello, my friends. Welcome back. We hope you've missed us as much as we've missed you. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Live Like an Athlete. I'm your host, Aaron Cerrone. I'm joined in studio by my buddy, Big Herc.
I'm kind of glad you said, welcome my friends, not welcome my friends and Big Herc. So at least I know I'm in like the circle of trust.
You're in the circle of trust.
All right,
and if
good.
You notice, when I say Big Herc, I always lower my voice.
There you go.
Say Big Herc. Because you can't say Big Herc in a serious manner.
No, absolutely not.
And I think that our guest today would agree with that.
Yeah.
Because you two share something in common. But we'll get to that.
Okay. Listen, when we start the show, I feel like, you know, if we were on TV, like, this is my vision. I hope you think about these things the same thing, but, like, if we had a TV show and we went in the intro, it'd be like one of those cop things where we're running down the alley, we're wearing, like, aviator glasses, we're jumping out of boats and
Hurt.
Through windows and fire everywhere.
I know that we are in Miami, but this is not Miami Vice.
That would be our
Although
opening, though.
It could be Miami Food Vice.
That's true. It has nothing to do with what we're doing, but it just seems awesome. That's what we do.
I like it. Speaking of food vices, last week we talked about your taco and a helmet.
Yeah. Oh, listen, I have a bone to pick with you.
You do?
For a week now. I sat on this. I thought about coming to you, but I thought this would be great for the show.
What?
All right. So after last
Pick
week's
your
show,
bone.
Yes, I was talking with Adam Azer, who is our other host here.
Yeah.
And he was explaining to me that how he started eating these new protein bars. And he was saying Al Melchior got him hooked on it. And I said, yeah, I'm the one who introduced Al
and
to him.
I said, they're horrible protein bars.
Right. I'm getting there. So just a little more. So I've known about these protein bars. We're not mentioning the name because we don't want to.
Right, that's true. Oh, yeah, I almost said it.
Yeah, in journalism school, no one gets free advertising.
Okay.
But anyway.
Yeah, right. They got to pay.
Exactly. So anyway, I was like, I know because I got Al hooked on them. I've known about these bars for years because I've gone to a lot of health food trade shows. And, you know, before they went mass market, you know, I knew when they were a small little company. So the good thing about them is that they have 20 grams of protein and zero sugar. And that's what I love about them.
Uh-huh.
And then Adam's like, yeah, I like them too. But Cerrone told me they're terrible.
And did he tell you why?
Yeah, I'm getting there.
Okay, because time's of the essence.
No. So I'm like, and it's like, why would she say that? I'm sitting there puzzled. I said, these are the best things on the market. And she goes, yeah, she says, if I keep eating them, I'll grow man boobs.
I didn't. Do you know why? Because aside from the fact that you should not be eating protein bars because there's highly processed protein, which is acidic and just for so many, it's hydrolyzed. It's so not good for you. But even if nothing else, it's soy. And as a man, you should not be eating soy unless it's fermented. And even then, you probably should not be eating it unless it's in small quantities. And do you know why? Because soy is highly estrogenic, Mr. Hercombe. And so if you would like to be consuming extra estrogen, by all means, go ahead. But if I were you, I wouldn't want boobs. Listen, I mean, I'm a woman, so...
Listen, these things... I went and looked on the label, and it said 20 grams of protein, zero sugar, but nowhere it says guaranteed to grow man boobs.
That should be a disclaimer. Unfortunately, the FDA hasn't caught up with the... The actuality.
But don't you think if that was the case, they would tell people to stay? Like, it would be for women only or something like that?
No, actually, I don't. There's plenty of things that they don't, that would be ubiquitous. They will not tell you.
I feel like,
interest of, for instance, the fact that soy is a subsidized crop by the U.S. government. You really want to get into this?
You told me you're a conspiracy theorist, right?
Well, no,
I figured this is one of your conspiracy theories.
I didn't say I was a conspiracy theorist. I said I tell the truth, and our senior producer said that I was a conspiracy theorist.
I can see it now.
And that I wear a foil hat.
Now I get it. After last week when I heard this conversation. So I've been wanting to pick this bone. These are good.
You keep eating those bars and you come back to me and I will see your boobs in 5 years.
Listen, I had man boobs before I started eating these, all right? So
that's a different story entirely. That's actually a story for a different podcast. Yeah.
By the way, I lost... She's like waving me off. She doesn't want to listen to this story. Oh.
No, I do. What's your story?
You want to do it for the end? We'll save it for the end then.
Okay.
All right.
Because we got to get to our guests who are so
they like this story.
Eagerly
all right?
waiting. Actually, why don't you tell it to our guests? Because this is probably perfect for them.
All right. Fair enough.
Plus, which you're going to hit it off with one of them because you have something in common, which is being very funny. Anyway, so we mentioned briefly last week that, and if you haven't heard the podcast, go back and check it out. We talked paleo primal pretty much, right? With Dr. K Channon, Ken Berger, NBA insider. We talked about what she does with the Lakers, and it was a focus on like. Obviously, this low-carb, high fat, moderate animal protein, but animal protein is included. She even talked about eating fermented foods and eating organ meats and how good that is for you. So I figured, well, it seems only fitting that after we had someone on talking about eating animal organs, you know, sustainably harvested, but still, that we should maybe talk about not eating animals at all, meaning people who are vegan. And the perfect opportunity presented itself in our two guests who we're going to have on today. One is celebrity trainer to the stars in New York City, Robert Brace. And the other is actually a comedian who I thought would be perfect for you because you crack me up all the time.
There we go.
Mark Malkoff.
But he probably gets paid to make people laugh. I just do it for free.
That's
no one wants to pay me
true.
To make
you
them laugh.
You should capitalize on that.
Nah.
Anyway, so these guys, they did this thing called the 28-Day Challenge, vegan style. 28-Day Challenge is Robert Brace's branded 28 days to getting fit. And he'll tell us more about that. But Mark Malkoff, the comedian who does all sorts of crazy things, if you check him out on YouTube, like he lived in IKEA for a week, part of the reason that I love him.
You know that. Erin likes the name DJ IKEA. It's growing on her.
You're going to see me down in South Beach spinning house music, and it's going to be DJ IKEA. Anyway, so long story short, Mark got ripped in 28 days being a vegan. I thought this was absolutely nuts because I tried to be a vegan once, and it was a horrible experience. That's not to say that it's horrible for everyone. You can learn something from your mistakes.
Yes.
I consider that a mistake in the blip of my nutritional life. But in all seriousness, we're going to talk to them about that. They're awesome. All right. And with that, I would like to welcome our guests without further ado, Robert Brace and Mark Malkoff. Guys, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Yes. Thank you.
Mark is of YouTube fame, among other things, but the fact that he lived in an IKEA for a week is really the reason that he's on this show. Mark, you don't know the background, but Herc called me out on it, our very first episode. I'm sort of obsessed with building things from IKEA, so when I saw that you actually lived in one, I was like, this is divine providence, if nothing else. Seriously. Bit of background real quick before we get started. Robert Brace, he has been dubbed New York's top fitness guru by the Daily News and top celebrity trainer by Bloomberg. He's currently a celebrity personal trainer, and he's a former ballet dancer with over 15 years of experience in the fitness industry. He was a soloist with the Metropolitan Opera Ballet, which I can assure you, people who have no idea what that means, this puts him in the NFL of ballet, for reference.
Thank you.
Absolutely. He was previously featured on Food Network's weight loss reality show, Fat Chef, which is about exactly what it sounds like it was about. Robert helps clients reach their fitness goals, including A-list actors, television and radio personalities, models, and prominent New Yorkers. Comedian Mark Malkoff is a very funny man who lived in an IKEA, as we said, which is largely the reason he's on the show. He also visited and consumed purchases from all 171 Starbucks stores in New York City. He disproved the myth that New Yorkers are rude, as he was physically carried 9.4 miles in Manhattan by 155 individuals. My favorite thing is when he brought his pet goat into the Apple store, proving in effect that Apple will let you do anything if you're there to buy an iPhone. He is qualified to join us virtually as he's used Skype to video chat with residents of 162 countries, including North Korea. However, I don't think Dennis Rodman was involved. Mark formerly worked for Comedy Central's The Colbert Report in case you doubted his ability to be funny or his political affiliations. He's appeared on The Today Show, Good Morning America, CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, NPR, and The Tonight Show. You guys are both really accomplished. That's a lot.
Absolutely. Now, disproving the and working with the famous New York residents,
yes.
Was that you at one point? Were you on the
very
the famous list?
Don't be so condescending. You see what I'm dealing with here, guys? All right. Well, before we brought you on, gents, I briefly mentioned to our listeners what exactly this was all about. Mark undertook Robert's 28-day challenge, but I'm going to let you guys kick it off and tell me how on earth this even happened in the first place and what was the motivation behind it. So you guys take it away.
Okay, Mark, you want to go?
Yeah, absolutely. So about 3 years ago, I was really out of shape and I make these videos for a living. So I thought, I want to get into shape. I'm going to get a personal trainer. Somebody told me about Robert Brace, and Robert said, Mark, as long as you do what I tell you to, we can get you in amazing shape. And I really wanted to see what it would take for a guy like me who doesn't work out to get six-pack abs. Because those men's magazines, whenever you see them, they say, get six-pack abs in 30 days. Robert says, do what I say, you'll get six-pack abs. But what I had to do 3 years ago was eat 330 hard-boiled egg whites in a month, in addition to working out. And I got the body, but I was very gaseous. Nobody should eat that many eggs.
You must hate eggs now. You must never want to see another egg again.
I have not had one since. That was 3 years ago. And the results we got were outstanding. Robert knows what he's doing. I mean, it was just, and it was incredible, incredible time. So, you know, I couldn't sustain eating all those eggs. So I was out of shape again. I said, Robert, you know, I would like to do this with a more healthy regimen. What can we do? So Robert, I'll let you take it. And you said what?
Well, yeah, one of the reasons Mark kind of, so to speak, fell off the wagon last time was because, you know, the 330 eggs wasn't sustainable, and as he said, the gas wasn't really attractive, and you know, his wife was highly upset. But you know, and it was part of my evolution as well, because at the time I thought, you know, that the prevailing information out there is that vegans can't get ripped and they can't get muscle very quickly. And so when Mark came to me, and Mark basically, since he was a young teen, has lived on a plant-based diet. So I took it as a challenge to figure out if we could do this on a plant-based diet. And also my background, you know, something personal to me is that my mother actually, she had colon cancer and she survived. But part of her journey was, after she got colon cancer, was becoming vegan. My brother became vegan. And so when Mark presented this challenge, I thought, you know, it would really be good to do something that disproves a lot of and dispels a lot of the myths out there that being vegan means you can't put on muscle quickly. After all, you look at some of the largest mammals, you know, elephants, horses, gorillas live on a plant-based diet, right, and they have huge muscle mass. And so we didn't know if it could be done, but we figured we'd give it our best shot.
And Robert, this is in particular in connection with your 28-day challenge, which I think is really cool, and we're going to talk more about that later. And of course, we'll have the link up on the website and everything, so everyone can go check it out. It's the 28daychallenge.com. But tell us what that is, because you don't have to be vegan to do it. But the extra challenge was that Mark was vegan and did it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you definitely don't have to be vegan. The reason the 28-day challenge came about, again, is really thanks to Mark. When we did the first project, Mark wanted to see if he could get six-pack abs in 30 days, and we actually did it in 28. And so, you know, people wanted to get the results. They saw, and, you know, I've got to say this, Mark is really intense, and so he worked really, really hard. Many people thought we did some kind of Photoshop trickery or whatever, but that is really all Mark. And so we got a huge response for that. That video actually got, if I'm correct, Mark, about 900,000 views in the first couple of weeks. So there was a huge interest in it. And yeah, you don't have to do it vegan. We have a paleo diet that goes with it as well. And we have a maintenance plan. And the main thing is, if you look at many diet plans out there, most people can only stick with an intense diet plan for 5.5 weeks. After that, they fall off.
Is that the statistic?
That's the statistic, yes. And so what we figured is, if we could help people get amazing results that keep them inspired and want them to move forward onto, you know, to do more things within that time, then they're more likely to stick with the program. And also, you know, people want fast results. So if we could give people what they want and inspire them to go on to do other things, that, you know, that would be great for us, great for people. And since then, the 28-day challenge has just kept growing. We've got DVDs, we've got booklets, we've got online streaming, we have classes. So really, the genesis was through this project with Mark, and it just keeps growing.
You know, it's always interesting to hear, you know, you're saying that 5.5 weeks most people stick to a diet. But when you hear about diets, it's supposed to be a lifestyle change. It's supposed to be for the rest of your life. And, you know, I'd like to hear a trainer's perspective about, you know, staying committed, not just for 5 weeks or, you know, 2 months, the whole, you know, the rest of your life kind of thing.
Yeah, so to that point, Mark, how's it been since then? Because the last we saw of you in that YouTube video, you're looking like the Hulk, just not green.
Yeah, it looked like George Lucas's people did special effects on my body. But, you know what? I'm still eating almost entirely plant-based. I feel terrific. I mean, my exercise regimen, I haven't kept it up entirely, but, you know, I'm getting back into it. I wanted to give myself a little bit of a break, but I physically feel great. And it was just one of those things that's really good to see what is possible. I think a lot of times as adults, it's hard to go past what's comfortable sometimes. And doing a video like this just shows you what you can really achieve. But I have to ask Robert one question is, why did I have to do this over Thanksgiving? That was torture. Why?
Well, you know, I don't know. I think I'm just a sadist at heart, and you know, this kind of thing is cathartic to me. But again, he did a great job with that. And to your question, you know, what we've tried to do is create programs not for where we want people to be, but for where people really are. Most people want to see quick results, and one of the biggest reasons that people fall off is that they don't see any results at all. So if you can give somebody great results, and then you transition them to a maintenance program, which happens with most of the people in our class and, you know, most of our clients, then they get the results they like, they want. And as Mark said, they see what's possible. And then they're in a position where they can continue that and maintain that over the long term.
You know, that's a great thing he said, you know, realistic expectations almost.
Yep.
Because, you know, everyone wants the quick fix kind of thing, and then they fall back off the wagon. But it's almost to the point of, like, you know, I've heard so many times, you know, you didn't put all that weight on in a month. You know, it took years, so it could take years to, you know, get down to what you really want to be in.
Oh, sure, absolutely. And that's part of the reason that I wanted to do this podcast about veganism in particular, because that is a lifestyle of which, for instance, did not work for me in my case, sure. Given my when I tried it, given my particular set of parameters, and not unlike your mother, Robert, I was very sick and was kind of looking for anything that, you know, seemed reasonable to me that might put me in a healthier situation. But what I did notice when I was vegan, and I'm like you, Robert, I have a dance background and I was an athlete, and so I noticed that I lost muscle mass really, really quickly. And that was probably a combination of a number of factors, including my illness and the inability to really work out properly. But it wasn't until I found actually this protein powder, which is how I found you guys, because I saw you using it in the video, that I was able to get a sustainable source of protein that was vegan and that tasted good and that didn't hurt my stomach. And it's called Plant Fusion. You see Mark using it in the video. Can you talk about that for a sec?
Well, yeah. I mean, this was absolutely key to the success here, was that, you know, most of the criticism or most of the naysayers were saying you'll never get enough protein to maintain muscle mass and to build. And so we were looking all over for a good source for Mark to make this successful. And what was great about the Plant Fusion protein is, one, that it tastes good, so you can actually, you know, you don't mind drinking it. But two, the rate of absorption into the bloodstream and the which provides the muscles with the nutrients that it needs very quickly and effectively was great for this project, because we really needed to make sure that Mark didn't just, I mean, if he just lost weight, that would have been one thing, but you see the amount of muscle mass that he builds. So we wanted to make sure that that happened, and Plant Fusion really was key in that. And Mark can speak to more of the experience of taking it.
I still take it to this day after the project, because I'm mostly plant-based anyway, but it was just a really good education to know how much protein is in peas, quinoa. These are all in the Plant Fusion. And there was one other thing that was artichoke protein. I had no idea. So taking this just really, I had energy the entire month. I felt good. We got enough protein. And I mean, the diet was essential. One thing I do want to mention about losing weight was that I didn't know until I started working out with Robert is that people think a lot of it's cardio, and obviously it is, but lifting heavy weights, doing those repetitions, really shed a lot of pounds off of me and a lot of people I've talked to, and I don't think a lot of people know that, and I just wanted to mention that.
Yeah, that was something I was interested in, because before we went on the show here, I was talking with Aaron, and I said, you know, this was great, but I said, it seemed like he was really committed, he was living in the gym, and she told me you weren't, so can you explain a little of the workout regimen that was going on?
Well,
keep talking.
Who goes?
What I was saying in response to her was, while we don't know exactly everything that was going on because of the condensed properties of the YouTube video, I was quite sure that you didn't physically live in the gym the same way you lived in the IKEA. However, what I was saying was, like, as you become, you know, more efficient in your workouts, you really shouldn't have to spend all that much time. And from what I understand of Robert's workouts, what I love about him is that he doesn't make you spend 2 hours in the gym. It's condensed into an efficient, shorter workout. But I'll let you take it from here, Robert.
Okay, yeah. I mean, you know, Mark did work hard. Most of our sessions were about an hour, and then he had some homework to do, which would take him about 20 minutes. But a couple of my other programs, I have another program called New York Lean 25, and what we do is we use a lot of interval training. And interval training helps maintain the muscle mass, but it also is great for shedding body fat. And you don't have to spend as much time in the gym doing your workout, doing 40 minutes of cardio to an hour of cardio when you're doing interval training. And so basically what we try to do is find the most effective methods and time-conscious, time-saving methods to get him the results that he got within limited time. And so nobody really wants to spend 2 hours in the gym. And so we had to make it work for his real life because, you know, Mark was doing a lot of other projects as well as what he – during that time as well as working with me.
Such as bringing goats into the Apple store.
It happens, right?
Mark, that was my favorite thing that I've seen. Seriously, that was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. I was watching it at my desk, cracking up.
Thanks, Aaron. Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment that you can do anything in an Apple store, and no one had ever documented it before. So, yeah, I was a little nervous they weren't going to let me bring a barnyard animal into the store.
But he did, and they did. He also ordered a pizza. It was great. It was really
awesome.
Yeah, my favorite part of the workout video was the when Mark was in the bathtub with the Twizzlers and all the junk food. It made me feel good because you know I do that. So there's you know the movement. It's like a cult movement. So it's good to know that other people out there do the same thing.
Yeah, you guys weren't on our podcast last week. We had a paleo, so we're talking about like the opposite of the vegan movement. But Big Herc mentioned that he had gone to a spring training game up in Port St. Lucie and he ate a taco out of a helmet and wanted to know
delicious
how healthy that was. And the doctor suggested he just not eat the helmet.
That's wise.
Reminded me of that. Mark, would you say that this diet has improved your comedic abilities?
I think that it's definitely made me feel good. It's given me energy. So I'm going to say yes.
On a more serious note, though, since we are talking about being vegan and being an athlete, and actually for anyone out there listening who doesn't know, prominent NFL player Tony Gonzalez, who is a damn good-looking guy and also a damn good player, claims that he's – between 80 and 85% vegan. Now, he's not 100% vegan, and the article I had read, which included information from his nutritionist, was basically referencing the fact that because he's playing at such an elite level and expending so much energy, that there was no way to get all of the necessary protein just with plants. So, obviously, we're not all NFL players listening to this, but Robert, what's a general guideline for us regular people, you know, avid exercisers listening, in terms of how much protein they should be consuming and what kind of a source that's from?
Right. I think, look, you know, they say general bodybuilding is you want 40% of your nutrition from carbs, 30 from protein, 30 from fat. But going back to the athletes, there are some athletes who currently do have a pure protein diet. If you look at, I mean, many people may have heard of Jim Morris, who's this 70-year-old vegan bodybuilder who just looks amazing. And then you got Matt Danzig, who's a mixed martial artist. So, you know, you generally want about 1.5 grams of protein per pound of body weight. And so if you go with those numbers, you should be fine. But you know, I firmly believe, especially after this project, that there's enough protein in plant-based food. Like, for instance, spinach is 51% protein. You know, I think mushrooms are 35% protein. So there's enough sources of protein in there to fuel an athletic background. Now, obviously, I'm not an NFL player, so, you know, I imagine there's some real specifics there that whatever his doctor is referring to. But I think for the average person, you know, some people look at veganism as daunting. And to be honest, I did too. I grew up on eating, if there wasn't meat on the plate, it wasn't a meal. And so what I've done is I've taken it in steps. You know, with my family, about 3-4 nights out of the week, we'll have a vegan meal. And for anyone wanting to get started, you can go to meatlessmondays.com, Meatless Mondays, okay. And it has loads of recipes, loads of things that you can do to just get started in the process. I would say to the average person, don't feel you have to do it all at once. You know, do your research, you know, find out what works for you and take baby steps. And you'll find out whether it works for you.
I think we should put the disclaimer here, though. Do not go outside and start eating the plants in your yard or anything like that.
Herc, only you yep. would consider that. What are you talking about?
You're saying plant-based, so I'm like, oh, let me go outside. You
know? We're going to find Herc on the side of I-95 picking weeds.
That's Mark's next video. He's going to, like, freak people yeah. out by eating plants.
That's the next challenge right there.
That's true. You should go foraging in Central Park, Mark.
Maybe.
Or in Prospect Park. And for the record, that vegan even though I am no longer quote vegan, I still do eat a lot of plants. Well, I eat plants and meat mostly, but I do use that protein powder, that plant fusion protein powder, because honestly, it's the only protein powder that doesn't hurt my stomach. And this is not an endorsement for them. I truly, really do use it. So you can mix. You know, you can be an omnivore. You can take a lot of the components of a vegan lifestyle, like ethics and yeah. quality sourcing and, mm-hmm. you know, not contaminating yourself with poisons, and mix that with eating healthful fats and healthful meat sources if you so choose. Right, Robert?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's just whenever you're doing something like what Mark and I did, you really want to give yourself the edge with everything. And like you said, it's not endorsement, but, you know, Plant Fusion really did their product really did work. And it was just interesting finding things like artichoke protein and pea protein and all of that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I think you just got to do your research. And if it is overwhelming, like I said, take baby steps.
I think that that's a good point. Baby steps in moderation. In the video, you'll see there really wasn't baby steps. I was all in. And all I thought about the entire month was food. Yeah. I thought about food on the subway. I stared at people eating on the subway. And this happened the last time 3 years ago that I would dream at night about food. And like this one time, this past project with Robert, I dreamt I was eating pizza. And I was so disciplined, even in the dream, that I spit the pizza out. Because I realized Robert could be watching me. Robert could be around and he would bust me. So it was definitely a disciplined month. And people don't have to, you know, be as hardcore as I am. I think baby steps is a good way to go to sustain.
Yeah, so Robert, so you're so powerful, you even infiltrate people's subconscious states.
Yeah, that's part of the program right there. Psychic training.
I figure if like we're walking down New York, you see Mark, and you say, give me 20 right now, and he has to start doing 20 push-ups.
That's
right. You should
try that for your next video, Mark.
Maybe, yeah.
I think that would be great. I did want to mention, we mentioned artichoke was a component of this plant fusion protein and something.
You want to ask me if I ever had an artichoke before? Is that it?
Have you ever had an artichoke?
I have, all right? I have a little healthy in my diet, all right?
So defensive. artichoke, though, not only has protein, but it's really, really easy on the digestive system, and it detoxifies your liver. So some people didn't know that.
Yes.
Very good for you in that sense. So I have some notes here, too. And Robert, I will let you address this one because one of the notes says Incredible Hulk. So is that referring to Mr. Malkoff?
Yeah. I'm not sure if you've seen it, but at the end of the video, it prompts viewers to check out his alter ego transformation. So at the end of the challenge, Mark, we had this kind of almost animation thing put together where it shows Mark changing not just his body but his personality. Because the whole thing about, you know, once you change your body, it kind of changes how you see yourself. And so he goes through this amazing alter ego transformation where he kind of looks like David Banner and goes through the body changes and he's ripping his shirt and then he turns into the Hulk and, you know, his muscles are busting out. It's just
like
a short
Friday for me, so.
So if at the end of the video, you can see it on the website, the28daychallenge.com, and we have a whole page dedicated to Mark's vegan challenge. and the alter ego transformation is there, where Mark turns into the Incredible Hulk.
I love it. Well, listen, he did pack on a lot of muscle. So for anyone who hasn't seen it, seriously, go check it out. It's on YouTube. It's on the 28daychallenge.com. You can get to it through Mark's website, markmalkoff.com, among many other funny things, including my favorite goat story and the IKEA stuff.
Yeah.
also, so another thing, Robert, for you to address is the difference between definition, mass, and fat burning. So
okay.
You're always looking for the solution, right?
Yeah. Now, this is really key to the 28-day challenge. And what we're doing right now with the 28-day challenge is we're trying to find other trainers who have an athletic or a training background who are able to see more of the nuances in how to train people. And so to be able to get somebody to the level that we got Mark in such a short amount of time, it really does take daily looking at where Mark is at and adjusting the program. So where you see the definition mass and fat burning, you know, the definition, really there are some ballet principles that we use in the 28-day challenge, which are kind of like the secret sauce, but they supercharge and accelerate the definition. And so, you know, as I'm working with Mark day to day, I'd have to look at, okay, where does he need more definition? Where does he need more mass? Mark was great in that the more that we trained his biceps and his shoulders, that those were his assets. So in order to sculpt his body, we needed to increase more mass. And then the fat burning, to see that muscle, you know, we had to do more interval training. So really, we're constantly analyzing, you know, what Mark needs in the short term. Is it more definition? Is it more mass? Is it more fat burning? And so it's kind of like a sculptor looking at Mark's body as we're going through the whole process.
I love it. A vegan sculpture.
And now Mark can go around saying, look at the gun show. Just with his biceps. You know?
Just like you, Mark.
Exactly.
We're going to get you on this vegan 28-day challenge. Speaking of which, as I told Robert before we started, when we connected last week, I'm going to undertake his 28-day challenge. And I will post photos before and after.
Awesome.
However, I will not have as funny of a video as Mark, I'm sure. Nor will I be living. Did you sleep in the gym, Mark, by the way?
No, I don't like the smell of sweat.
All right. Well, I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it paleo primal style. No veganism. I might incorporate some vegan traits, but
if you want a vegan snack, Oreos are vegan.
You know, they didn't used to be. Oreos used to be better because they tasted better because they had lard in them. And then, like, sometime in the 1980s, I remember they switched over. That was the time, by the time McDonald's took the lard out of their fries, and they also went downhill from there.
Are you writing a book like The History of Fast Food and all this stuff?
I just happen to know a lot about lard.
Oh, there you go.
Which I'm sure Robert doesn't approve of. All right, awesome. Well, guys, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. You know, we always like to end with our guests telling us their, you know, one to three suggestions that they have for listeners. So I'll let you go first, Robert, and then Mark, you can think of your suggestions for our viewers here.
Okay, my first suggestion, not to sound too kooky, but
go ahead.
Is really, I think you got to imagine what's possible. I think there are so many fitness claims out there and things that have disappointed people, and I think people need to start believing again in what's possible for themselves and for the public in general. And so I think, you know, really start to think about what you believe is possible for your body, and then go for it. Second, you know, if you're going to be successful, I'll just give you this tip because it has like about five tips in it. But you've got to think. The WH principle. Think about the words WH, who, where, why, and when, and what. So when you're approaching your program, what is it going to be? Is it going to be a weight training program, a CrossFit program, a running program? When are you going to do it? Is it going to be in the morning? Is it going to be in the evening? Why are you doing it? So really, it's, you know, many people, one of the biggest predictors of whether people are going to succeed or fail on their program is really figuring out why they're doing it. Why am I, if it's just to look cute for a little while, then, you know, that's how long you're going to be on your program. So really try to figure out the big why. What's the biggest reason you're doing this? And then I think just when, like, when or where, sorry, where are you going to get this done? If you can answer those questions, then you really have a plan that's going to lead to success.
Cool. I like it. Makes a lot of sense.
Absolutely.
But that's why he's got all of his clients have results, like Mark. Mark, what are your suggestions for listeners? And they could just be general life suggestions, or they could be vegan suggestions, anything.
I think I have a bunch of. I think getting a plan, setting out goals, exactly what you want, why you want it, getting advice of people that have gotten those results and kind of hearing their stories and just really knowing what you're getting into mentally. And I think moderation is a good thing. You know, I'm very extreme, but most people aren't. So, you know, I think it's okay once in a while to have like a cheat day and stuff, and just as long as it's in moderation and stuff. I just think like going 100% all in is, for most people, it's going to be much harder. So I think just being prepared, moderation, and then definitely, you know, so many people I talk to just do all the cardio, but I think incorporating those weights, they can't be underestimated. And just more people I've talked to have lost weights, lost actual physical weight working out with those weights. So don't be afraid to pick heavy things up.
Like that commercial for that gym, I pick things up, I put them down.
So I should start lifting cars tomorrow?
Maybe a goat. Did you see me carry the goat out of the Apple store? That was good for biceps.
Goat lifting one.
Goat lifting 101.
Oh, wow. Exactly.
You got to start that. That's your niche. That's your niche, Mark. Goat lifting 101. And in effect, basically, you will no longer be carried throughout Manhattan. You are now walking throughout Manhattan.
Exactly.
That's right.
Thank you so much to you guys. We really, really appreciate it. Remember, everybody, you can head over to the28daychallenge.com. That's number 28 to check out the workout that Robert's been talking about. You can also go to Robert's main website at www.robertbrace.com. And you can check out Mark's website at markmalkoff.com. And Mark, what's the name of your YouTube channel?
Mark Malkoff.
I thought it was My Damn Channel. It's not.
Oh, I've done videos for My Damn Channel as well. I'm all over the place. So, yeah, but people can go to Mark Malkoff's that YouTube channel and see my stuff. But, yeah.
Perfect. You're ubiquitous. That's great.
Yes.
Certainly on the streets of New York. And that protein powder that we mentioned also is called Plant Fusion, and you can get that I get mine on Amazon. I think you can also get it from their website, which is plantfusion.net. But we'll have all of the links to this stuff in the article that accompanies the podcast. So fear not if you have not been taking copious notes. thank you so much, guys.
Oh, thanks for having
us. Thank you. It was a pleasure. This was fun.
Yes. Thanks a lot.
And good luck, Aaron.
Oh, thank you. I'll have to catch up with you after I have my 28-day transformation. Herc makes fun of me.
It's up soon.
You can't wait.
Thanks, fellas. Appreciate it.
I'm going to get the last laugh here, Herc.
All right. Take care.
Take care. So, Herc, that was awesome.
Absolutely. The jokes, and, I mean, Robert was great. He enjoyed going back and forth. And, you know, it was some really good information. And, you know, as we were, you know, discussing, you know, I think something we want to introduce in a little new segment to our show here where, you know, after the guests go off, you and I have some reflection
time. We talk
time.
About them?
Yeah. No. Yeah. All bad things. I hope you don't listen anymore.
Just kidding. No, we love our guests. Yeah. That is a good idea because normally we just end the show with the end of the conversation.
Yeah.
With our guests, but we might as well chew on it.
Yeah.
Ha ha.
Yeah.
No pun intended. So what do you think, man? Are you going to become a vegan?
You know, I think I'm really far from that. I like chicken too much. I was, you know, going to ask Robert, you know, but then he was talking about, you know, you can have other things in your diet and stuff. And
right.
That made sense to me. I think the one big takeaway from this whole thing, and Robert and Mark both said it, the motivation thing. Motivation is everything in life. And if you motivate yourself to do it, and they like said in moderation, you can do it.
Right.
I mean, every time like I go to the gym, I feel like, you know, sometimes I'm really tired, but I'm like, you know, the results aren't going to be there. Even if I just don't go for like 45 minutes to an hour just to go. So that's how I motivate. I think everyone should be like, you know, I can do this. I can do this. And that's so key in everything in life, I think.
Yeah. And people forget. I mean, first of all, different strokes for different folks, right?
Yeah,
like Mark said, he's fairly extreme. I happen to be a person of extremes, so I'll like jump into something completely, but sometimes that goes against your body. Like what I was saying with Robert, when I tried to do the vegan thing, there was a time where I was very ill, and trying to be extreme really didn't work for me. And it just, added to more frustration. And I think that was sort of Robert's point too. Robert and Mark, I think, made a good point about that, is like, why are you doing this and how are you going to get it done? And when are you going to get it done, to Robert's WH point?
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool because if you frame it in that context, you could be more realistic about things. He also made that other great comment. I think I wrote it down about people needing to understand where they are now.
Exactly.
And not where they want to be or think that they are, you know?
That's the thing with me is, honestly, you know, I'm turning 30 this year. I still feel like I'm 20. I still want to keep – I'm at that level. I don't feel like I'm up there. But your body responds to me like, hey, we're not – and I feel it. And sometimes I'm like, oh, man, I didn't know I ache in those places kind of thing.
I'm not going there. I'm not asking what your leisure activities are.
But, I mean, it really gives me a new sense. And also, too, about the cardio thing, because that's me. I mean, I love doing 45 minutes of cardio, and that's usually my thing. But he's like, you don't have to. And maybe that means I need to reassess what I do and maybe less things and, you know, do other things as well. So,
well, there's been tons of studies, especially recently. It's more accessible to the public now, showing the benefits of interval training, which is what Robert Brace was talking about, which you can complete. I mean, I do interval training 3 times a week, high intensity interval training, and it takes me about start to finish 17 minutes.
Yeah.
And you get more bang for your buck if you do it properly. You also have to be in the right condition to do it.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just jump into it, talking about moderation.
No, right.
But it's far more effective. And in fact, long stretch cardio is highly damaging to the body for a number of reasons that we should actually have a whole podcast about.
I know
cardio.
I've heard all the time, like, running's bad for the knees, and people have, you know,
well, that,
you know,
too,
so,
but
yeah.
But for hormonally, you know, insulin wise, there's a number of different, from what I understand, there's like a hormonal cascade that takes place. And so
you're big on hormones today, before, like, estrogen and everything like that.
Oh, with
you
the
know?
Soy. Yeah, well, listen, hormones are everything, man. They control how you look, they control how you think, how you act, everything.
Yeah.
So the cool thing is, you can manipulate them, just like our guest last week, Dr. Shanahan, was talking about with manipulating genetic expression and, you know, hormone receptors and all that stuff. It's so funny because there's so much stuff that we physically cannot see that's going on under the surface, but that we can actually affect either directly or indirectly with what we're doing, whether it's eating like a vegan or whether it's doing these, you know, these types of workouts. But I thought that what Robert said was really sensible sounding.
Yeah, and you know what? Another thing, too, again, just going back to the motivation, you know, it doesn't have to be lose weight or anything like that.
Right.
I do it for stress, to tell you the truth. I mean, after a long day of work, you know, and I also have to go home and do homework, I want a little recharge the batteries before I got to sit down and study for 2 to 3 hours, and it really helps me. And I mean, it just, you know, you come in with a better attitude, I think, too.
Yeah.
You know, some people like to work out in the morning, and I like to do it after work, you know, and just, again, fit your schedule. That's all they're saying is, you know, find things that work for you.
Absolutely. I couldn't have said that better myself, for sure.
Now, is this a good point to read the disclaimer, because we've got to do it at the
beginning? Oh, yeah, that's right. Thanks, Herc, for reminding me so we don't get sued. I want to remind everyone listening to this that in no way, shape, or form should this be considered as medical advice, a substitute for a professional opinion, etc. This is for your personal entertainment and edification only. Please advise your physician before beginning any exercise program or making any changes to your diet, including going vegan or interval training or any of the things we mentioned. So sorry, that was a retroactive disclaimer, but thank you for reminding us.
And before we leave today, I have two more tidbits we have to go over.
Okay.
First, it's funny because you were talking about, you know, the plant fusion, was it called,
I believe? That's a protein powder,
right. And you said, listen, I don't endorse anything. Every week, you're always endorsing something. You remind me of a NASCAR driver, you know, at the end of a race, like, oh, I just like think Powerade and Mountain Dew and blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, how much are they paying you, all right?
Nothing, unfortunately. Believe me, I would be a very rich woman if I got paid for all of the glowing endorsements I give things.
See, remember
I
what I said at the beginning of the show about journalism school? And when they told us in journalism school, when we write, don't give free advertising. Just say generic this, generic that, and stuff like that. But
this is a podcast.
Funny, exactly.
So we're allowed to break those
rules. I still have to do my journalistic rules here, you know.
Listen,
so
those J-School rules that are long gone, man, with the advent of blogs and podcasting. No one's a – might be good advice sometimes. But no, but listen, you know, I'm not going to withhold names of things.
No, of course.
I think people can benefit from. And honestly, I'm not a vegan, and I still use that protein powder. It's one of the only ones, well, for me, the only one that I've found that agrees with me. Doesn't mean that's right for every single human body.
Absolutely.
But I certainly don't think it can hurt.
Like our protein bars, where some of us like them and some of us don't.
Well, that's actually got science behind it, that you should not be consuming.
What is this science you talk about?
Processed soy. But hey, if you want to consume that, You go right ahead. I don't judge. I just give advice.
And listen, the second thing I wanted to talk about was last week on the show, you were talking about bad diets, and you're talking about that documentary about eating McDonald's for 30 days.
You just want to bring this up because I talked about erectile dysfunction, don't you?
Yes, because the over-under was 5 shows before Aaron said the word erection, and we only got the 3 shows.
You're such
a liar. I lost the bet. So now you have to – some of the endorsement money you get paid, you have to give to me so I can get the money back.
Unfortunately, I can only pay you in plant powder and whatever else I may be unofficially endorsing. But yeah, no, you know what? Listen, I have to tell you, coming up soon in the near future, we are going to have an entire show devoted to sex.
I've been looking forward to that since you called me on this. I knew it was coming. I was like, I can't wait.
Anyone who's listening, that's because Herc knows me and knows how my mind works. No, but really, listen, why is that that's not a topic that's off limits. If we're talking about building, you know, muscle and getting your triglycerides in order, why wouldn't you talk about having your sex in order? That's part of a healthy life, right?
That's what we live for, right? Anyway,
the title of this podcast is Live Like an Athlete. Athletes have to have sex too. They're humans. So why would we not talk about that, Herc? And I think it's going to be our most popular show.
I think so too. And listen, speaking of popularity, you know, we want the viewers to keep writing into us, tweeting us, you know, let us know. If you have any questions, you know, we want you to, if we have a trainer on 1 week, if we have, you know, an industry insider or something and you want to ask them a question, we'd be more than happy to. So if Aaron, you want to give them the email address. So
good reminder, Big Herc. That's right. We have an email address specifically for this podcast. It's likeanathlete@cbsi.com. So pretty simple to remember. And Seriously, just email, you know, keep it clean because we have to read them. But I probably just invited all sorts of perversion saying that. But seriously.
We're getting a lot of questions for the sex show, I believe.
For the
now,
sex show.
So,
yeah. Well, keep that clean too, as clean as you can. Relevant. I just asked that it's relevant. No, but really, send us questions and suggestions for future shows and all that sort of stuff because we're happy to ask them for you, and we'll use your name or not, whatever you tell us to do. You can also tweet at us, too.
Yes.
That's an easy way of reaching us. I'm at Aaron Sharoni, and
I'm at CBS Herc, H-U-R-C.
So. That's right. So,
and you can ask me fantasy questions, too, because that's my other job. You know, Live Like an Athlete podcast host one, other job, too. So
Herc is a man of many hats.
That is true.
A man who wears many hats.
I lost my hat today, though.
Or horse of a different color. How about horse of a different color?
I'm green today, but that's for another reason.
No,
so.
That was the other day. That was St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, but that's because I had a little too much to drink, so I was green afterwards. So.
I love how all the non-Irish people are the ones doing the drink. You know, I'm half Irish, even though I don't look it.
I'm Irish. I got part Irish.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
Look at the freckles. I got so many freckles.
Is that the defining factor of whether or not you have Irish in you?
Yes.
If you have freckles?
Yes.
All right. Well, awesome. Thanks, as always, for being my partner in crime, Herc.
Fun as always. Fun as always. And I look forward to each show every week.
And I am going to be doing that 28-day challenge, for real.
I know. I'm going to make fun of you. You know, that's just me. So
be clear, it's...
I'm going to eat a cheeseburger right at your desk. I'm like, Aaron, this cheeseburger is so
really
good.
Is.
You want a bite?
Herc knows through experience that I like to torture myself in this office because people are always like, what are you doing or eating or not eating? Or what is going on? But I like science experiments. And technically I'm in a quote healthy body fat and weight range because I spoke to my doctor about
this. Nice. You want a high five? Look, I'm doing a high five in studio.
Yes.
Boom.
So the advice wasn't like, hey, Aaron, go out and lose a bunch of weight. But I think that Robert can help me define, what did he call it? Define and tone and
tighten even more.
So why not, right? If you can do that, why not?
Absolutely. But last time I went to my doctor, he said my blood type was Ragu. So he says, you know, let's get on healthy track here. So.
Oh, Michael Herkham.
I think we can't end on a higher note, right?
No. Well, we can, because for the record, I forgot to tell everybody that Herc's shirt today says Harvard.
Yes.
And not Harvard, like with an R, but Harvard, like hold your shirt up, H-A-H-V-A-H-D. So basically the way Ben Affleck says it.
There you go.
Pack your can.
It's a proper way to say it, all right?
The Boston way to say it.
There you go.
How about them Red Sox? All right. On that
we're
going to
do a whole show in a Boston accent one day.
We absolutely are not. You can. I'll do it in a New York accent, all right?
There you go.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks so much, Herc. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, and we'll catch you next week.